Thank you, Randy. And thank all of you for coming out this morning. I do welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm very happy to see you here, and I'm very happy to be here. I feel like this is a great time to be alive. I'm going to give you some definitions of words that are in the scriptures, so you'll be able to help understand what it is that the people were writing down. Because it makes a difference if you can understand the words correctly or not. I'd like to start in the third book of Nephi. And I already told Danny, but the name of this sermon is the name of Christ. So if you will open your Bibles to page 634, we will get started. 634, it's the third book of Nephi, the fifth chapter, and I'm going to start at verse 30. For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hath the spirit of contention is not of me, but is of the devil, which is the father of contention. And he stirreth up the hearts of men to contend with anger one with another. Behold, this is not my doctrine. To stir up the hearts of men with anger one against another. But this is my doctrine, that such things should be done away. There's a lot of nervousness and tenseness in the world today, tension in the world today, would be a better way to say it. And it has to do with what's been going on several years now. We've been dealing with people wanting to change the way things are done in the world. Myself, I've been wanting things to go the way I believe. I think that what I read in the scriptures is what we should be following as a nation. But there are those people that don't think we should do that. And so there's contention. How are we supposed to deal with it? How are we supposed to handle the things that are happening and keep God's commandments while we do it? Let's turn to the second book of Nephi. It's the 11th chapter. It is verses 110 is where we're going to start. It's on page 148 in the Book of Mormon. If you'll excuse me, my throat has been dry all morning. Thank you. Verse 110 says, and again the Lord God hath commanded that men should not murder, that they should not lie, that they should not steal, that they should not take the name of the Lord their God in vain, that they should not envy, that they should not have malice, that they should not contend one with another, that they should not commit whoredoms, and that they should do none of these things. So this is commandments from God, things that we should not be doing in our lives. And it says this is the reason why. Verse 111, for whoso doeth them shall perish. For none of these iniquities come of the Lord, for he doeth that which is good among the children of men. And he doeth nothing, save it be plain, unto the children of men. He's not got any hidden agendas. It's very plain what he wants, what he expects from us, what he's commanded us to do. It's plain. And he inviteth them all to come unto him and partake of his goodness. And he denieth none that come unto him, black and white, bond and free, male and female. And he remembereth the heathen, and all are alike unto God, both Jew and Gentile. That covers everybody on the planet. In the eyes of the house of Israel, if you're not an Israelite or a Jew, you're a Gentile. That's everybody on this planet. Covers everyone. Doesn't matter what country you were born in, what political affiliation you have, what race you have. If you're not a Jew, then you're a Gentile. So we're all covered in what God expects us to do, what he's commanded us to do. No exceptions. And he remembereth the heathen, and all are alike unto God, both Jew and Gentile. But behold, in the last days, or in the days of the Gentiles, that's our time right now, yea, behold, all the nations of the Gentiles and also the Jews, both they which shall come upon this land and they which shall be upon other lands, yea, even upon all the lands of the earth. Behold, they will be drunken with iniquity and all manner of abominations. In the day of the Gentile, these things will be everywhere. And they are. And when that day shall come, they shall be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and with a great noise and with storm and tempest and with the flame of devouring fire. And this is going to happen in the day of the Gentiles. Guess what? It's happening all over the place. It's crazy, but it's happening. All of these things. Thunder, earthquakes, noise, storm, tempest, fires, it's everywhere. And all the nations that fight against Zion and that distress her shall be as a dream of a night vision. In other words, at some point in time, all of that's going to go away. Yea, it shall be unto them even as unto a hungry man which dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or like unto a thirsty man which dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. Yea, even so shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. For behold, all ye that do iniquity, stay yourselves and wonder. For ye shall cry out, and cry, yea, ye shall be drunken, but not with wine. Ye shall stagger, but not with strong drink. For behold, the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep. For behold, ye have closed your eyes, and ye have rejected the prophets and your rulers, and the seers hath he covered because of your iniquities. And that's happening. Back in verse 110. It says that they should not take the name of the Lord their God in vain. Vain, if you want to look it up in Strong's concordance, it means to destroy or ruin. Do not destroy or ruin the name of the Lord your God. If you have taken his name upon you, as a child of Christ, if you've gone down into the waters of baptism, do not destroy his name through your actions or your thoughts or your words. The word malice, where it says that they should not have malice, that they should not contend one with another. Malice means the same thing as spite. It means ill will, a desire to do evil to another person, anger, wrath, indignation, to desire to cause harm. That's malice. Don't do that. Don't desire to cause harm to anyone, physically or spiritually. Don't think of evil things that you could do to people that hate you and want to treat you bad. Because if you do that, if you think of these things and you try to implement them, then you're committing malice. Plain, in verse 112, it says, "And he doeth nothing save it be plain unto the children of men." Plain, when you look it up, it's number 5549 in the Hebrew section of Strong's. It means to exalt, raise up, make plain. It's fairly simple. All right, so let's go to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. We're going to start at the first verse. Matthew 22, verse 1 says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, and another to his merchandise. They had better things to do than to go to the wedding. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them." They treated them with malice. "But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city." So they were punished by the king, not by the servants. "Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage." You know that's our job, right? Job of the servants, go into the highways and bid people to come to the marriage of Christ and his bride. That's our job. Our job is not to destroy. That's for his army to do. Our job is to bid people to come to the marriage. "So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests." So they did their job. The servants went out and they got a bunch of people to come to the wedding. And they were bad and good, but they were all encouraged to come. "And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment." Someone was not properly attired. Something was not right with one of the individuals that the servants bid to come. "And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he, the man, was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." So where are the servants? We're the ones that are supposed to be going out and bringing the people to Christ. They can decide if they want to come to the wedding or not, but we're supposed to encourage them to come. When they do get here, we're supposed to make sure they are properly clothed. That means they're supposed to get baptized. They're supposed to repent of their sins and make their garments spotless so that they can stay for the feast. That's what we're supposed to be teaching them. Faith, repentance, baptism. Those are the things that I was called to preach and teach back in March of 2006. I was also called to preach and teach peace unto the families. That was part of my calling. When you come to the wedding, to the feast, and you get baptized, and your garments of your soul have become spotless, no sin, you take upon you the name of Christ. And from that time forward, he demands and expects you and me to act accordingly, like we are his bride. We are not supposed to bring shame or dishonor upon him, and we are not supposed to do actions that cause people to turn away from becoming a member of the bride of Christ. If you would Let's turn to 1 Nephi, 3rd chapter. And I'm sorry, but I got to have another drink. My wife is doing a very good job of taking care of me. She's got me on different kinds of medicine and pills, and she makes sure I take my vitamins every day. But I've been on some sinus pills and things that are just drying me up crazy, so I'm very thirsty. 1 Nephi, 3rd chapter. We're going to start on page 35 of the Book of Mormon. It's the 3rd chapter, 1st book of Nephi, verse 165. And the angel of the Lord said unto me, Thou hast beheld that the book proceeded forth from the mouth of a Jew, and when it proceeded forth from the mouth of a Jew, it contained the fullness of the gospel of the Lord. And in that sentence, fullness also means plainness, the plainness of the gospel of the Lord, of whom the 12 apostles bear record, and they bear record according to the truth, which is in the Lamb of God. Wherefore these things go forth from the Jews in purity unto the Gentiles, according to the truth, which is in God. This is the Bible that is talking about. And after that they go forth by the hand of the 12 apostles of the Lamb from the Jews unto the Gentiles, behold, after this, thou seest the formation of that great and abominable church, which is the most abominable above all other churches. For behold, they have taken away from the gospel of the Lamb many parts, which are plain and most precious. Plain. The parts that will raise you up. The parts that exalt God. The parts that are plain and precious. And also many covenants of the Lord have they taken away. And all this have they done that they might pervert the right ways of the Lord, that they might blind the eyes and harden the hearts of the children of men. And we see that happening now in the day of the Gentiles. It's happening everywhere. In all the churches of the land, they're perverting the way and the truth of the words of God. And after that, these plain and precious things were taken away. This is verse 172. It goeth forth unto all the nations of the Gentiles. And after it goeth forth unto all the nations of the Gentiles, yea, even across the many waters which thou hast seen, with the Gentiles which have gone forth out of captivity. And it's talking about the people that colonized the Americas. And thou seest, because of the many plain and precious things which have been taken out of the book, which were plain unto the understanding of the children of men, according to the plainness which is in the Lamb of God, and because of these things which are taken away out of the gospel of the Lamb, an exceeding great many do stumble, yea, insomuch that Satan hath great power over them. Yes, they stumbled. And they're still stumbling. And after that, the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and most precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which have been kept back by that abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb. Wherefore I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, saith the Lamb, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. For behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed, that they shall write many things which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. And after that, thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindle in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren. Behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, and my rock and my salvation. And we know that this has happened. We have been given the Book of Mormon as well as the Bible. And they contain the plain and precious things that God gave to the 12 apostles. There's nothing missing. There's nothing else that we need to know in order to make it into heaven. Only that which is written in these two books. That's all you need. It will suffice. Let's turn to Genesis, the 28th chapter of Genesis, if you would, please. And we're going to read the story of Jacob and his dream. And this is the passage in the Bible that the house of Israel basically hangs their hat on because of what Jacob saw and what God told Jacob about his descendants. This is their big epiphany or awakening or moment in history. Chapter 28, verse 10 is where I'm going to start. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, in Jacob, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And that is what the Jews look at. Because of their father, Jacob, the whole world is going to be blessed. Because of him and because of them. And because of what Jacob saw in his dream that night, the whole world is going to be blessed. Behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And so he did. He did everything that he had promised Jacob he was going to do. And because of what Jacob saw that night, all of his family and all of the whole world has been blessed. And the Jews don't understand it at all. Do you know what he saw was a ladder? And he saw angels ascending and descending on it from heaven to earth and then from earth back up to heaven. That's what Jacob saw. And God standing at the top of the ladder telling Jacob that through him all the earth was going to be blessed. What he saw was a representation of God's holy word. It's the only way that angels can come to earth and ascend back into heaven is by the power and authority of God's holy word. A ladder. It could have been a staircase. It could have been, you know, it could have been a rope, a knotted rope. It could have been anything, but God chose to make it a ladder. There was a reason for that. This is the only place in the scriptures that uses the word ladder. Can you believe that? It's the only one. It doesn't use it anywhere else, but right here, ladder. And that word in Hebrew at the time is the same word that we've been reading about. It means to make plain. Ladder in Hebrew means to make plain or to raise up. What Jacob saw in his vision was these two books joined together, two sticks, two trees with their branches going together and making a ladder to heaven. That's why angels can do what they do, is through the power of the word in these two books. And they don't realize it. They don't know it. They don't know that what Jacob saw was the Bible and Book of Mormon being represented by a ladder. We know it because of what's written in both these books. We have it. We know that these books in the eyes of God are going to be joined together by his power, just like this. Okay?
John.
Let's say prayer.
Can we pray for a sister of the church?
Pat McCann
is in
a serious heart problem.
Yeah, she needs our prayers right now. So if you will please kneel with us as much as possible. Thank you very much for your prayers for our sister. Okay. we've already read that. Sorry. Let's go to the book of Alma, chapter 21. We all need to remember that what we have done when we got baptized was we claimed the name of Christ as our name. We claimed the inheritance of the Jews as our inheritance. We need to remember that in all that we do so that we will look and act and be like his children. Chapter 21 of the book of Alma, I'm going to start in verse 40. On page 469. And now it came to pass that when Moroni, which was the chief commander of the armies of the Nephites, had heard of these dissensions, he was angry with Amalickiah. And it came to pass that he rent his coat, and he took a piece thereof and wrote upon it. And this is what he wrote: in memory of our God, our religion, and freedom, and our peace, our wives, and our children. And he fastened it upon the end of a pole thereof. And he fastened on his head plate, and his breastplate, and his shields, and girded on his armor about his loins. And he took the pole which had on the end thereof his rent coat, and he called it the title of liberty. And he bowed himself to the earth, and he prayed mightily unto his God for the blessings of liberty to rest upon his brethren so long as there should be a band of Christians remain to possess the land. That's us. We're the Christians that remain. He did this for us, that we would be able to remember. For thus were all the true believers of Christ, which belong to the church of God, called by those who did not belong to the church, and those who did belong to the church were faithful. Yea, all those who were true believers in Christ took upon them gladly the name of Christ, or Christians, as they were called, because of their belief in Christ, which should come. And therefore at this time Moroni prayed that the cause of the Christians and the freedom of the land might be favored. And it came to pass that when he had poured out his soul to God, he gave all the land which was south of the land desolation, yea, and in fine, all the land both on the north and south, a chosen land, and the land of liberty. And he saith, surely God shall not suffer that we who are despised because we take upon us the name of Christ shall be trodden down and destroyed until we bring it upon us by our own transgressions. And when Moroni had said these words, he went forth among the people, waving the rent of his garment in the air, that all might see the writing which he had written upon the rent, and crying with a loud voice, saying, behold, whosoever will maintain this title upon the land, let them come forth in the strength of the Lord and enter into a covenant that they will maintain their rights and their religion, and that the Lord God may bless them. And it came to pass that when Moroni had proclaimed these words, behold, the people came running together with their armor girded about their loins, rending their garments in token or as a covenant that they would not forsake the Lord their God, or in other words, if they should transgress the commandments of God or fall into transgression and be ashamed to take upon them the name of Christ, the Lord should rend them even as they had rent their garments. Now this was the covenant which they made, and they cast their garments at the feet of Moroni, saying, "We covenant with our God that we shall be destroyed, even as our brethren in the land northward, if we shall fall into transgression. Yea, he may cast us at the feet of our enemies, even as we have cast our garments at thy feet, to be trodden underfoot, if we shall fall into transgression." He didn't just do that for those people that were with him at that time. He did it for us too. We are to maintain our liberty and our rights to freely worship the Lord our God the way he has commanded us to. As his children, we are to act and think accordingly. We are not supposed to do anything that would cause harm or negativity or bring ill thoughts upon the name of Christ. But we are to keep his commandments at all times. I hope and pray that in the coming days, we will do our very best to maintain that name. I know that that times are going to get harder. It's written in the books. I know that we're going to see some amazing things happen as time progresses because it's written in the books. It is an exciting time to be alive. You know, these things were written thousands of years ago. The thing that Jacob saw in his vision or his dream of the ladder and the angels, you know, that was a long time ago. And God is still keeping his promises. He will watch over us as long as we do what he has asked. He will defend us with fire if it comes down to it, because he said so. It's written in the books. The only thing that we need to fear is our own humanness, our own carnal state. That's the only thing that we need to fear about losing our Christianity. God is not going to take that away from us. It would only be us giving it up through our own desires instead of following the desires of God. We will not lose his promises or his protection or our salvation as long as we maintain our commitment, as long as we keep his name pure and holy in our hearts. So there is really nothing to fear about what's coming. But it is going to be exciting. It's going to be different. And we get to be a part of it. So I ask that you would please remember at all times, no matter where you are or what you do. This past week, I was at Home Depot at 135th Street and Antioch Road in Overland Park. I had to get some stuff for the job. Had one of my t-shirts on that's, you know, one of the church t-shirts. That's what I always wear to work. And it was the one about we are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. I got my stuff. I walked up to the counter. The lady's on the other side of the plastic divider. And she sees me and she beckons me to come to her register. She's, you know, an older lady. I say she looked to be my age, but I look like I'm 80 according to all the young kids here. So I really can't tell you what her age was, but she was old enough. And she motioned me to come to her. So I did. And I handed her my stuff, and she bent closer to the plexiglass, and she said, "I really like your shirt. Thank you so much for wearing that today." And that was Wednesday, the day after the election. And the lady behind her that was working the other register, she came up too, and she said, "Yes, thank you so much." She goes, "I wish everybody would wear stuff like that." You know? There's so many people out there that desire the loving bond that we have, and they want to see it everywhere they go. And so we need to remember, and we need to do our very best, not in just wearing a shirt, but wearing Christ on us, in us, by keeping our garments spotless, by doing what he has commanded us to do at all times, no matter where we go. And when they found out that really good part in Romans chapter 8 was written on the back of my shirt, they just was like, "Yes!" You know, so there are people out there that need to know who you are, who you belong to, because they desire it. They want to know what it says in these books. They want to know the truth about the vision of Jacob's ladder. Yes, we have all been blessed. The entire world has been blessed because of what Jacob saw and what it represented. And we have it with us here today. So I ask you to please, when you leave here, when you go about this new week, that no matter what happens, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, you will please maintain the name of Christ and keep it pure. Keep your garments spotless. Again, I thank all of you for coming out this morning. I really do. Thank you.